I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on. I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes.
There's nothing but Netflix in my heart and in my screen. There's always something that I could haven't seen. And maybe one day we can start and watch the rest, so Rob and Chappelle can give it your best. Yes, nothing but he Netflix. Yes, that is Will from America with the theme to Nothing But Netflix. Here we are today to take a long hike up Snowflake Mountain. And here he is, a guy who has traversed many Netflix challenges before, but maybe none such as grueling as Snowflake Mountain. Here is the great Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Oh, thank you so much. I've been dying for you to sing the theme song with the theme song for so long. This is my Snowflake dream come true.
Almost all the words.
Yeah, I saw you. You were pushing through. But yeah. Listen, it was a good moment for
it's
me.
It's not karaoke. You're not on the screen.
No. But we do this every week. By now, you should know the theme song. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy that you were able to get the gist of it. It sounded great, as usual, you know. And so let's do it. Let's. It's nothing but Netflix. We're talking about snowflakes today. I'm ready.
Yes, nothing but Netflix. And we are here with a woman who we most recently got to speak on a non-nothing but Netflix project. When we, maybe the backdoor pilot for To Be or Not To Be, when we talked about Celebrity Exorcism over on Tubi, an offshoot of What We Did over on Beyond the Edge. And let's check her excitement level here to talk about Snowflake Mountain. It's Jenny Autumn.
Hello. I've spent a little bit of time trying to think about my role in this. Am I the snowflake here because I have been asked to podcast yet again? A terrible show. Yeah. It's morning.
Right.
It's I'm just drinking orange juice. It's not even a mimosa. Like this is not the podcasting conditions I am normally used to. However, on the flip side, I do sort of feel like I am like the Bushmasters. I'm the Matt and Joel. I am the Matt and Joel of this podcast here because I am very experienced when it comes to traversing terrible television, especially that of people trying to quit things, which is essentially the spirit of this show. And so I feel like maybe I'm the expert on the panel, not on being a snowflake, but instead being like, this was a hike, and I've been through the bog. I have been I've been through it all.
This was recommended to us by Sir Ben. We don't need to dox people on the podcast.
No, we don't.
Snowflake Mountain. You should talk about Snowflake Mountain. I will say up front, this is maybe the worst show we've ever watched on Netflix. Yeah.
Now stop. Hold on. Now, yes. David Bloomberg said this is the one to watch.
Watched the whole series. He was very disappointed.
No, I thought he loved it. I thought 5 stars, 10s across the board.
Mm-hmm. Listen. You know?
He is working on the rules for how to win Snowflake Mountain. Yeah.
But if it was that bad, would he have really finished the whole series? Like, right. I think that it, like he doth protest too much. You know what I'm saying? Like,
maybe he loved it. Yeah.
Celebrity Exorcism was bad, and I watched it 4 times. I'm just saying, me and David got the same energy right there. Rob, I'm excited because even if the show was bad, we have the Bush Queen herself here to help us navigate it. So honestly, we're going to have a good time regardless.
That's the Bush Queen.
That's what you called yourself, right? Bush Queen?
I'm leaving. I'm Olivia. I'm out.
It's going to get damper.
Yeah.
Yes. The damp Bush.
Damp Bush.
The damp Bush Queen, Jenny Autumn.
Okay. So we're going to talk about Snowflake Mountain, okay? Also, AKA also Snowflake Island. And... I think it just bears worth saying up front that I feel like that Netflix really went like I think they had an idea for a title for a show before they really knew what the show was going to be. And I feel like that they're like, ooh, this will get people talking.
This is like you and Akiva, like coming up with podcast
don't say
ideas
this is
just
like
from
me
the
and
title.
Akiva. Don't say like this is like me and Akiva. But I do think that whatever the Netflix business model is, that I feel like that sometimes it's like okay, no press is bad press. That this will get people talking. Let's make a show called Snowflake Mountain, and I think that's what they were going for here.
Yeah, it's inflammatory sounding. It's a buzzword. It, maybe not a positive buzzword.
Yeah.
Let's start the culture wars.
Right.
Like they were like, you know, whatever way this goes, people will be talking about it, and people will probably at least watch two episodes, like we did, to see what it's about and see, you know, what like whether it is as bad as it sounds, or you know. What's the point of this snowflake mountain? So they did their job, I guess.
Jenny makes a good point, though, Rob. I mean, you and Akiva are good to throw out a title that will make people listen to the podcast. And then I wouldn't say that they're disappointed when they listen to the podcast, but I'm sure people like check into Rob and Akiva are hung and be like, what the hell is this? So I think Netflix is following the Renap model.
Maybe.
Jenny, you might be right.
Maybe, just want to like go out there and say the views of Snowflake Mountain do not represent the views of the Nothing But Netflix podcast. Rob Sestrino, Mr. Chappelle,
the management.
Hey, add me to that.
Yes, yes.
I just because I'm here doesn't mean that
the Bushmaster Jenny Autumn. Okay,
Bush Queen.
I regret everything.
Okay, so here we go. So this is my take that if I was going to say, well, what is the closest comparison for Snowflake Mountain? And it's a little like off the grid. So follow me here.
No, I think I know where you're going.
What am I going to say?
Listen, this was too hot to handle.
Yes, it's too hot to handle, and they basically like put the like the too hot to handle like model, and they like reskinned it.
Right.
They said, God. Please not with the reskinning.
We got these snowflakes. We're gonna put them all together in a situation where if they break the rules, we're gonna take money from them. And at the end there's this big prize and we don't know how it's gonna be divided because we can't tell you that kind of thing. It's the bait and switch. It's oh my God, this is not Treasure Island or whatever they thought they were going on. It's Snowflake Mountain.
Yes.
You know, so
yes.
I think that's really what they did.
And
yeah.
It's the same sort of idea of like, oh, we're going to like teach these people to appreciate the like where things come from, so that they won't be so entitled and, you know, just expect things to come to them without having to do any hard work.
Yeah. Like, you know, whereas another show I podcasted about, Joe Millionaire for Richer or Poorer, is apparently a show that is not about tricking women. This seems to be Netflix's bread and butter.
Anymore. Right.
Yeah. They love the concept of tricking people and being like, yeah, you're definitely coming to a fancy villa. Oops. No, you're not.
Yeah.
Now you're going to grow as a person. Like, we're all going on. Well, actually, this is a thing. People do go on reality TV with hopes of growing as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So, these people are never looking for that. These people were just looking for a party. But now they're going to grow. They're going to get something from this experience, and probably not money.
You know, it's funny because these kids are, and I call them kids, but I mean, they're adults. They're the same age as the too hot to handle people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a very different group of people. Like, you could have done this the same exact show with the cast of Too Hot to Handle and got the same reactions. I don't know why they're like, okay, we got to go get these snowflakes that they're not the hottest people around, but they are just entitled. Like, I saw the last season of Too Hot to Handle. You dropped them off in this area after telling them that they're just coming out here to smash, and they're going to have this same exact reaction. They're going to cry about their Fendi and their Gucci and all this other stuff, but they're also not going to be happy about digging holes and skinning animals. Nope, not many people would be happy if you lied to them. So they didn't have to pick this particular cast, but it's the same show. It's literally the same thing over again.
Those people would be actually disappointed that they're not going to get a pussy rash.
That's a quote from the first episode of Snowflake
from
Mountain.
The Bush Queen.
I am quoting the media. Yes. If you watched the trailer, you heard it too, baby. Yes.
Right. Okay.
So if you've heard that, quote Jenny right now. She said.
Yeah. I also feel like that the show, to me, does not understand what the term a snowflake is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. And what do you mean by that? Like how is the show
defining it?
But basically, like I think traditionally a snowflake is a person who is very sensitive and somebody who would be like easily offended by any sort of change your language because you will offend this person because they are a snowflake. That to me, that is always how the word snowflake is used. These are like spoiled, entitled people that are like, I don't, in the two episodes I watched, there wasn't one point where anybody was like, hey, like, you can't, talk to me like that. Like, you should, you need to say blah, blah, blah. And to me, like, I feel like that they were going for like, ooh, people will watch this because they're like, we're going to watch these snowflakes get served. But that's not who the people were that were on the show.
No, they were like brats. The people who created the show. The people who created the show are conflating those two things. You're right. They're saying like, oh, because you have feelings about or you're sensitive about certain terms or the way people talk or the things that are happening in society today, you also are entitled and you're also a brat. And you're also, it's like, no, I can feel like a unique person who has feelings about things without feeling entitled to stuff. But they lump all that in. They're like, this particular generation of people is like that. And we're going to stamp it out by dropping them off in the wilderness and making them dig holes. You know, it's like, oh, okay. But yeah, I probably agree that whatever they were going for, it's like, nah, they just used it like to paint all these people with a really broad brush and just bring out a bunch of brats and say, well, this is how we see y'all. And so that's what y'all gonna be.
This is what happens with like language and especially like these like, buzzword terms like snowflake. Like I actually think that, this is what people are going to look at these kinds of people and say, oh yeah, they're a snowflake. It's the same way that millennials has become a term for any young person that people want to say is entitled. Like, they could have called this Millennial Mountain and none of these people are actual millennials. It's the way that people call literal like Gen Z people millennials. It's the same way that like the term Karen has kind of gotten misused in a lot of cases where like people will just throw Karen around in situations where it's like, that isn't actually the original meaning of it, but okay. So people cannot be trusted with these terms. And, Snowflake Mountain has a lot more of a ring to it than Brat Mountain or spoiled, entitled young person mountain. So it doesn't shock me that they're just kind of being a little liberal with
Definitely so not on this show.
About liberal. Oh, no. There goes the culture wars.
I'd watch Brat Mountain.
Brat boot camp, Brat sort of implies like that they are very young, like they're like,
Oh no, that's not what I was getting at. But yeah. I think Jenny's probably right. I think it's just one of those things where if you let people do what they will with language, it just becomes whatever they want it to be. And honestly, that's kind of how language works. Like a word can mean something today and then tomorrow can mean something completely different if we all decide that it means that, So it's like, now this is Snowflake, and that's how we end up with Snowflake Mountain. Y'all, I thought this was a skiing show. I was shocked that there was no snow. I am dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if anybody complains about the title of the show, I think it also plays into the business model of the show. Where if anybody like says, well, actually, then they're like, you see?
I'm mad.
Yeah.
Snowflake Mountain. You're triggered now. Mm-hmm. You're feeling bothered by the title. It's like, no, the show sucks. Yeah. But okay.
And while, I don't think that they really drove home the point that the people that are on the show are really like people of means. They do seem to be like pretty like well off everybody that is on the show.
At least a few of them.
At least
for
a few
sure.
of them. But they're also, it's like the prize is $50,000 to start and going down from there. And they're like, oh my God. So which is it?
Yeah.
Which is it?
I mean, I think that it's like, okay, if, you know, what we've learned from just living in capitalist society is that just because a person is rich and has money doesn't mean they don't want more of it if they have the opportunity. So even though this isn't that impressive of a pot and homeboy is like rolling up with Gucci and Burberry, like, you know, jackets layered on top of each other, doesn't mean that he's like not interested in the prospect of getting $50,000. So I don't know. I think that people are still interested in making money.
It's counterintuitive where it's like these people don't even know the value of money and they don't work for anything. They just rely on handouts. And then we have a show where they're going to have to really work hard for this amount of money. It's like, well, which is it? Well, either they don't work for money or that they work very hard to get the money.
So now they're being motivated by money.
Yeah.
Right.
Otherwise, the show would have been over like 10 minutes in, Rob. They wouldn't have been able to do anything.
Right. Yeah. This was the first, like the third of like four, or like three or four tries. You know, like we're getting Snowflake Mountain season one and two. But what they had to do is they probably tried this with like six different casts before. Yeah. And people just kept quitting. They kept saying, you snowflakes, you are not going to survive out here one day. And then now the snowflakes said, yeah, you're right. And they left. And so like, okay, bring it. Snowflake group number two, we'll throw in $30,000. Like, nope. Like $50,000. Like, okay, we're not as snowflakey as you thought we were. I think we're gonna stick this one out. So yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if it took a couple tries before we got here.
Well, can I also add about this show? And again, this is my opinion. Okay, so
like,
I want to couch this before you know we get into any legal trouble here on the Nothing But Netflix podcast. But to me, this read as the fakiest fake show that I've ever seen. And I don't know if there's been any interviews with the cast or like in the fine print in the credits somewhere that says like this was a dramatization. But to me, that no part of this felt real to me.
I'm currently watching a mockumentary called Players. And so my brain is like currently very fixated on that style of storytelling. And you could convince me that this was completely a mockumentary about like, you know, first of all, reality television today and, you know, snowflake culture or whatever, you know, the young people of today and how entitled they are. You know, the other side of the people that are criticizing them you know, you don't work hard. And so like, I fully believe it, but also this is still Netflix reality. There's a reason we are comparing this to Too Hot to Handle because it follows that same sort of like this. You're playing it up. All of this is like, even if there is like a little bit of reality here, it is being way more, you know, like just exaggerated by the people and the storytelling and the editing and the production of it all. So I see it in two different ways. Like, I definitely think that there's a lot of fake shit going on here. But also, that is always like the Netflix reality always kind of feels like that to me.
And this is one of the shows that's brought to you by the people who brought you Undercover Boss and The Circle. So, I mean, you want to talk about shows that seem fake
I
already.
I think you say 30-somethings Austin.
Oh, no. That's also probably fake. So, man, well, we have to get an interview with Jacob Jones to find out. But, I think, if this is from the people who brought you Undercover Boss, which to me always feels fake, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, this person walked in with this horrible wig and this is, like, very intent on finding out about your day-to-day and the cameras are around. It's like, I wonder what show this could be. I don't know. I might act like somebody who doesn't want to be employed anymore while this new person is here walking around with the cameras. You know, like, for me, Undercover Boss always feels fake. The Circle is fake. And so, you know.
Allegedly,
allegedly. But between those two things and the Too Hot to Handle vibe, it's like, even if this was real, they're going to do a really bad job of selling it.
Like, are any of these people on social media? Like, I'm trying to find Solomon from Snowflake Mountain.
The fact that he didn't pop up immediately on your Google search is a problem, because it seems like he would be the one that you should be able to search, because he's a star in this show. Mm-hmm. Like, he's clearly going to, like, get all the camera time throughout the season. If he makes it to the end, he's going to be one of the people we hear the most from, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. But, like, if you are the breakout character from Snowflake Mountain, how much of a claim to fame is that? Like, we still should not be expecting that Solomon is doing big things on social media.
I mean, how dare you? Inside the wild Instagrams of the cast of Snowflake Mountain on Netflix. Okay?
Solomon has, what, 961 followers?
961?
More followers than him.
Well, maybe we could be friends with him. Yeah.
His show just dropped yesterday, guys. Let's give him some time.
Several days ago.
I'll follow him. I'll give him a follow.
Yeah, I'll follow Solly.
Yeah. Okay, where is he?
Okay. Let's see. He does have... Solomon, you can go to him, that he has a link tree on his Instagram. You can go to his TikTok page, his Twitter, his Instagram, his YouTube, or call me for Christian life coaching.
Yeah. It's his Instagram is Jesus X Solomon. And his bio says no Givenchy, just Jesus.
And there is no better commercial. There's no better commercial for Christian life coaching than an appearance on Snowflake Mountain,
in which you steal food from half the cast and hide it, and then use it to leverage the this relationship with another person on the cast. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the perfect thing that you should be doing, Christian life coach Solomon.
Mm-hmm. And I believe his opening quote is, hi, I'm Solomon. Your mom wants to date me.
Yeah, because no one his age wants to date him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You know, the Bible says no Givenchy, just Jesus. Mm-hmm. Was he not just spouting brands on this show? Yeah.
If we can get an interview with Solomon, we'll come back for a follow-up. Well, we'll talk about
Absolutely.
The finale.
Absolutely. I need 100%. To talk to this guy.
100%. I have so many questions.
Done. I guess, should we talk more about the premise of the show, or should we talk about the first episode?
Talk about the premise, Rob.
Okay, yeah. I mean, the premise is like a rolling premise, because it's like they never really set it up. These kids are on a bus. I call them kids, but there are people in their early 20s. There's a couple 19-year-olds, and they are going to go. I guess their parents feel like it's a little. It's giving Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
They found a golden ticket
to get
here.
They're bad kids. They think they're going someplace good. They're going to learn some lessons along the way. And a few of them might die.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Because Willy Wonka, they lied to those people. They were like, hey, you're going to visit the chocolate factory when we're trying to kill you in the meantime. And here, they told them that they were going to some luxury resort or to film a reality show. Did they tell these people they were going on Too Hot to Handle?
I was gonna say, how many of these people thought that they were on Too Hot to Handle? Because they're like, they're not telling us the name. I know we're going to some sort of villa for like a very lavish reality show. Mm-hmm. And like,
very glamorous
imagine
show.
Like the double disappointment where it's like, not only do we not think you're hot enough to be on Too Hot to Handle, also you are a spoiled brat and now you're going to be like in the woods, not even in a very nice villa, not able to have sex. No, you are in the bush. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the bush.
Double sex disappointment. Sex is on the table here, but there were no hookups from what we saw.
Not yet.
Attempts, yeah.
I could just see myself in the woods going, Lana, please, Lana, for the love of God, Lana, where are you?
I'll never have sex again. Just get me out of here.
Just get me the fuck out of here. Yeah.
So we meet the two hosts of the show that are sort of the instructors, Matt and Joel. Matt is a survivalist. Joel was in the army. He tells us, I think Hurt Locker. They have partnered together. Yeah. They have partnered together to spy on these kids and teach them lessons. I guess they really hate snowflakes, Jenny.
Yeah. Everything about these two definitely tells me that they spent a lot of time talking about how much they hate snowflakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like on Twitter.
Favorite pastime.
With with usernames with like 15 numbers after them.
How many accounts do each of them have? You know, like yeah. These two are exactly what you would want to cast here. You know, you're mm-hmm. like, this is what you need. I honestly don't think they sell it that well. Like, they feel like they're like, you could have gotten probably an actor who would do a better job at this, because this feels like playful, almost like picking on them because they're snowflakes, kind of like almost in a jovial way. Whereas I think you could have got some real hateful ass people to come on here and be like, you little bitches, get out here in the woods and starve. Right, so I was actually kind of unimpressed by the level of energy we were getting from mm-hmm. Matt and Joel.
Well, I think that they want to have them play these characters, but also like not have them be like completely unlikable also.
Yeah, you were definitely supposed to... And I don't know, I maybe the underlying story of this show is, see, you know, these people from different walks of life, they can come to understand each other. And you know mm-hmm. what, maybe Matt and Joel are going to learn something from the snowflakes as well. Maybe this is going to be a learning experience, you know, for everyone. Maybe Snowflake Mountain is going to be the show that heals us as a nation. I, you know?
Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah, my nation.
Yeah. It's Survivor Borneo all over again. You got Rudy out here not yeah. knowing what MTV is, with all these children who also don't know what MTV is.
I disagree. I don't think that Matt and Joel are going to learn anything from the snowflakes. I think that they need to make Matt and Joel likable enough because they want the snowflakes to be unlikable, and then the snowflakes are going to come around by the end of the show.
Mm. We're going to get a showmance with
Matt and Joel with each other?
No, no. Please.
yes.
I don't think that they agree with that. Mm-hmm. I'm getting myself canceled. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Okay. But do you think that we see any of the snowflakes falling in love with Matt or Joel?
Ooh. Or both of them? Mm. Or both of them.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe sort of like a little bit of like, you know, falling for your captor.
Captor, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Yes. Okay. No, I don't see it this time. I don't know.
I think they took a liking to Ray, and I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Listen, Ray, never say never.
Well, Ray is a standout in this episode. The cast has their strong moments, but I don't think Matt and Joel are going to... I don't think they're going to let the snowflakes that close to them. Mm-hmm. I think they're just going to try to keep them at arm's length as long as they can.
Joel is doing the heavy lifting of the two Bushmasters here. I feel like Matt is just there, right? Yeah. Don't you agree? I don't know.
Well, yeah. Once we got past the opening, I really couldn't tell the difference between the two guys.
I just remember which one is which, and I remember that Joel seems to be the more like entertaining one. Or maybe they just give him the better lines. I don't know.
Well, here's the premise of the show. They bring the quote-unquote snowflakes out, and they tell them, take your stuff. Here's a dry bag, and then take only what you need. And they're all like, wait, hold on. I brought this. No, just take a couple things. And they take their suitcases, and then, Chappelle, they blow them up with a bomb.
Yeah. Okay. So shenanigans, of course.
Yeah.
So, you know, they tell them to grab their essential items. But mind you, these people thought they were going to a resort. So they've brought like their fancy stuff. We're getting name drops and labels and designers left and right. I mean, Balenciaga and Gucci and Fendi, like people, the kids are talking about all the stuff that they have that is so expensive and that's in their suitcase. And they said, well, no, just get the essential things. They're like, okay, well, when you say essential, you mean like concealer? You mean like like nail polish? Like, what are you saying essential? They're like, just things that you need to live. And so when they do a hike, you know, without their suitcases, they just do the hike with the little dry bag. But when they get to camp, the first thing Matt and Joel do is like, okay, well, since you didn't need that stuff to make this hike, you don't need it to live. So we're blowing up your suitcases. And the kids, yeah, and they have a very visceral reaction to this, which I would have too, because luggage itself costs a lot of money.
Right.
They really blew up their things.
Absolutely not.
Well, you saw it on Fire. Is this movie magic?
Yes.
Yes.
No, no, it's, not, it's not movie magic. It's it. They're not real. They're not real suitcases. No, they blow up a bunch of empty suitcases.
Yeah.
They would be like, so mad. And they're only getting $50,000. Like, that, you know, they had all this stuff.
And that those suitcases were provided to them as well. They were emptied and then they were put on the little wagon and then they were blown up.
They gave them like decoy suitcases. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we got some strong reactions. I think Devin just burst into tears. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if this is fake, she's a pretty good actress because mm-hmm. she was distraught. And I luggage is expensive. So before I even start complaining about what's in my suitcase, I'm trying to figure out, okay, who do I talk to about getting a new suitcase? Because when this is over, I still have to get on the plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how am I getting home? No, you live out in the bush now.
No, you're done here. Sorry, that's your prize.
You're moving $50,000 in with Matt and Joel.
Exactly. Now you learned how to chop down a tree, so you should be fine.
Mm-hmm. Can you chop more trees and build yourself a house? You live here.
Yeah. And then they live, basically, they have like a camp. Jenny, what do you think about these digs compared to the Beyond the Edge conditions?
I wrote this in my notes. I said, like, the camp is pretty sick. Like, this is not...
Monorail, yeah.
This is not roughing it at all. There's like cute little lanterns hanging. Like, they're sleeping in covered, like, burlap tents that definitely keep the water out, on cots. They're not even sleeping on like hard wood. They're not sleeping on bamboo. They're not sleeping on the ground. Like this looked like a cute little camping experience. I've camped a couple times in my life, believe it or not. And you know, I don't think I think I would be doing very poorly on Survivor, but I could absolutely handle this. Like, I would be like, this is nice. What a great experience.
Even Paulina, like, would have been fine on these beds.
Yeah, her hips would be absolutely fine. She's on a cot. She's got a blanket. Like, yeah. Are you kidding me?
Was this camping or glamping?
This was like borderline glamping. Borderline for glamping, sure.
Yeah.
Like,
pretty close, yeah.
Honestly, all they needed was maybe... They have a shower. It's outside, but it's still
but
a shower.
But it's cold water, Jenny!
Yeah, but they're not
How
having...
How are you supposed to wash your ass?
I mean, maybe they could wash their ass more properly if they had to do aqua dumps in the lake. It's probably a lake, right? So, like, this is... I have stayed in way worse conditions than this. Out of choice mm-hmm. for something to do. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. This I thought it should have been way harder. This mm-hmm. is not hard.
Yeah.
Okay, Boomer. Look, these kids, they were struggling. Mm-hmm. No, even when they announced the camp, they say, Matt and Joel are like, and this isn't even that bad. And honestly, the kids are like, ew, this is gross. But in my head too, I was thinking, Rob lived in the Amazon, like on the mm-hmm. floor. Like on the ground. Like, these people are like, here's a bed. And you're like, oh, okay. Well, it's not so bad.
They at least get to poop into like a hole. Like they're in a closed off. Like they're not having to drop trow. Well, I mean, one of them does end up just dropping trow in front of everyone. But like they don't have to just like poop on leaves. Like they're in proper outhouses with privacy. Like, come on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sari had to win a challenge to get Casa de Charmin. These people are just giving that.
Yeah. And Sari hates leaves. Yeah. That is true. And there's also, this going back to the rash, there was some concern about the leaves also.
Yeah.
And they have toilet paper. They complain about it being one ply or half a ply.
I think they said like 3/4 ply.
Yeah. It's still not a leaf. It's not a leaf.
It might as well be 3/4 ply. Is not. Give me the leaf.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're looking for a pussy rash.
Yeah. Let me play the clip. Let me play the clip because people think that because I think people listen to this podcast and they didn't watch the show. Here is the snowflakes learning about the bathroom situation.
Z, and I don't know where we're taking a shit. Like, I still haven't figured that out yet. I understand, girl. Question.
I do. Where is the pool? I thought I was going to be in a villa. I'm in the middle of literal nowhere. This was not the plan.
If y'all think I'm going to be wiping my vagina with some leaf, it's not happening. I could see it now. I'm going to get a rash. A pussy rash.
Okay. The voice you hear is of one of the contestants. She also makes a big mark in the episode, and she's also one of the stars. Her name is Deandra.
Yes.
Yes. Deandra from New York. And yeah, she is a soundbite machine. Like, you go to her for whatever little quip that you need before any confessional. Anytime something happens, the camera just zooms over to her. A star, mm-hmm. really. But yeah, this whole like, I gotta wipe my vagina with some Leaf. Mm-hmm. Perfect. That's perfect. That's a Twitter bio. That is her cameo. Like, she just needs to just like live on that quote forever, because I'm telling you, that is iconic reality TV. With some Leaf, mm-hmm. perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I she think was great. I'm gonna get a pussy rash is iconic. I'm gonna get a pussy rash.
What kind of rash? A pussy rash.
Let me specify, a pussy rash.
In case you missed it.
One of the worst ones.
this is one of the frustrating things about this is that, like, you're getting the sound clips of them actually expecting worse conditions than they're even living in. Like, shouldn't it be the other way around? Because, like, you go from them being like, oh, like, where's the villa? Like, they're complaining about, like, how bumpy the ride is to get to the villa. And, like, you know, so they're having to lower their expectations. But then we get these sound clips of them being like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to wipe my ass with a Leaf and I'm gonna get a pussy rash. It's like, you have toilet paper. You're, like, actually, like, getting...
You're catastrophizing.
Yes, exactly. Snowflakes.
Come on.
So I just feel like that doesn't really like paint the like the story that they're trying to tell here, where like they're entitled and they have high expectations. It's like they're already describing conditions that they don't even have to live in. So already it's like things are better than they expected.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Should be looking at the bright side.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad that they waste some of these cast members. Like these, like, I think Solomon, I think Deandra, and I think a couple others are like, if you put them on any other show,
they were great.
Gold.
They carried the show.
Right. But you put them here and they're going to be forgotten reality TV characters, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. people are never going to know the impact of With Some Leaf.
Yeah, we could have had them for a whole summer on Big Brother.
We still can.
There's still time. Maybe we will see some of them. Like, mm-hmm. this is not, I don't know. But when you have Solomon, like, you know, one of the most memorable people on this cast, has 936 Instagram followers.
Well, the show just dropped.
I have
dropped,
more Instagram Jen. Followers than this man. And I barely posed. Like, this is, you're not getting famous from this show. I'm
Should
sorry.
We talk about the cast? Because we feel like we haven't really, we've touched briefly on Solomon, who's one of the stars. Mm-hmm. Deandra, again, another huge star on the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's amazing. Yeah. She has, I think, maybe 7,000 Instagram followers.
Okay.
Okay, now we're getting
uh-huh. should have more.
Now, look, let's talk about the person who probably has the most. I haven't checked, but Liam Brown.
Liam.
Yes, you can find him twerking on this show. So they're in the wilderness and they're struggling, but Liam is going to have a good time. I think he has 16,000 Instagram followers already.
Oh, shoot.
So, Liam didn't come to play with y'all. I believe his Instagram is Liam Brown, but substitute the O for a 3.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Liam Bro 3W in.
Why not the 0? What is he doing? Does he not know how to speak Leet?
maybe it's Liam Brune.
Brune. Maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm. Liam Brune. But yes, Liam is twerking its way through this entire show, and I think Liam is good TV as well. Mm-hmm. There's also Ray, who we mentioned briefly, who is a standout in the eyes of Matt and Joel because of her infectious energy. And then there is Sunny, who we mentioned as well, because he is going to take a shit in front of everyone.
This is a bad time for me to say I have a crush on Sunny.
No.
Oh, okay. Was it the stool?
I have a crush on Sunny. he's got a little something. And I like that he's like, he's quickly like, you know, getting into it. I didn't enjoy watching him shit, but
mm-hmm. yeah,
that was his high point, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm proud of him, but I didn't need to see
it. Unlike in the Pentaveret, the Netflix blurring technology did work correctly, mm-hmm. Thankfully, in Snowflake Mountain.
Yeah,
it was on the Fritz in the Pentaveret, Jenny.
I'm glad they got it together.
like all they used was like an emoji or something.
Yes. Like, no, yeah, it was the same sort of similar technology in the Pentaveret. Yeah.
Exactly. We also have Devin, who I mentioned earlier, just burst into tears when they blow up the luggage. And Devin will also be another good character. Again,
yeah.
Switch out 20-somethings Austin with these kids.
She parties 24/7. She's an aspiring vegan.
No, she is a vegan. She's been a vegan for 4 years. Can I ask a question about Devin?
Mm-hmm.
She's 19, turns 20 on the second episode. Her story is she parties all the time, and then we get the B-roll of her in the club. Am I wrong? Is the drinking age in New York not 21?
I think so.
Yeah.
And she's partying in the club in New York and like popping bottles at 20 years old.
I don't know how strict the laws are down there, but what parties is she?
Have a fake ID.
I think you're probably
right. Busted, you just played yourself.
Yeah.
Now everybody knows, Devin.
Well, now she's famous from this show, and so she doesn't need an ID. I'm Devin from Snowflake Mountain.
Devin from Snowflake Mountain's in the club tonight.
And they're just going to let her in. I mean, she has 4,420 followers. So, I mean, how
front
could you
of the
deny
line,
her?
Baby. Yeah.
Exactly. So, yes.
She's Devin basically Kardashian at this point. Like,
essentially, yeah. I think she does better than the Kardashians would do in this situation, for sure. But yeah, she says, like, I party all the time, but I actually do stuff for the environment as well by being a vegan. So this is like, you might think I'm a snowflake, but there's more to me than meets the eye, you know?
She's confident in that. She's like, I guess I contribute to society. I'm a vegan.
Yeah.
She's like, I do something. Yeah. I mean, there are people who probably do less. We also have Olivia World Peace. who is with us for a good time, not a long time. Basically,
wasn't even a good time.
Once they blow up the luggage, Olivia is out. And so Olivia's a plant, right? Like, she's a plant. There's no way she legit quit because they blew up the fake luggage.
There's
right?
no way she's a plant because she was boring as hell. And we barely saw her.
But here's
the
thing.
She's a plant.
Here's what we know about her, Jenny. Tell me if this is a real person or if this is... and if this is a real person, maybe that this is proof that we are living in the simulation.
Okay.
She's 25.
Mm-hmm.
And in the year 2022, she says you can find her at the mall.
Yeah, like a 25-year-old at the mall. I will say, I did take note of where Olivia is from. Because I was like, okay, we got the people from like New York, like, you know, like they're, you know, apparently underage and still partying, living a really nice life. We got all these people wearing brand, like expensive luxury brands. Olivia's from Ohio. Like, I've been to Ohio. Is there anything that fancy going on in Ohio? Maybe maybe the mall is the only thing to do.
2 years into COVID, she's hanging. That's where she just is hanging out every day at the mall.
Might be the only thing in her town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's alone. This is why she's the plant. They went into like, okay, we need to find the most spoiled snowflakes from all across the country. We went to New York, and we went to Ohio, and we found them. Like, okay, Olivia, girl, quit. You know, like, she's like, I got to get back to luxury. Well, where are you going? Ohio. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Does Netflix have an office in Ohio? Come on. Everybody else is from New York, LA, or the UK.
Yeah, and she's like,
if anything, I think that Cincinnati. Olivia could have been the only real person that actually is just like, because the rest of these people like seem way more, you know, larger than life and are like, this person was just made to be on reality TV. Whereas like Olivia was just a normal, boring girl. And she's from Ohio. Like, I think if anything, she's like the most realistic person on the cast.
Yeah. And so when she saw that they were tripping, she was like, okay, well, I was clearly lied to. I probably have a job to get back to, so I'm just going to go. And
the job at the mall. That's why she's there all the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she works at Abercrombie, probably. I think that the cool thing, though, and I'll be kind to Olivia in saying that she quit before she knew there was a cash prize. So, like, yeah. if you're going to quit, it's definitely before someone tells you just need to last, 2 weeks in to get $50,000. Mm-hmm. Other people on the cast that we don't see much of throughout the first couple episodes are Randy, Carl, and Daria.
Yeah.
And I mean, we get almost nothing from Daria, like at all. Carl is kind of a jerk, and Randy is there too.
and then Randy is there.
Yeah.
Randy has that that look. Where it's like the bleach blonde hair, but like the ginger, like facial hair. Mm-hmm. That's it's definitely a look.
Mm-hmm. The Johnny Fair play. Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because Randy Wentworth is a pro wrestler, according to his Instagrams. Yeah. So that is very much the wrestler look. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, his pro wrestling makes him physically able to do some of the tasks on the show. But since he is not in character, he is very, very boring throughout these first couple episodes. I did watch a few more, and there is a moment of, we talked about showmancing, but Randy does try to make a move at some point on one of the other cast members. Yeah, so Randy's here to find love, or at least to get some screen time, because throughout the first two episodes, we don't see him at all. We also see Carl being a jerk, because Carl, you know, he's a snowflake too, but he's got to show that he's more masculine than all the rest
of the snowflakes. He's
alpha. Yeah, he's the alpha snowflake here. When asked to grab his essential items, he made sure he grabbed his basketball because ball is life, apparently. In case something pop off, you never know if Matt and Joel want to get froggy, he got to leap. And so he had that too. And then, like I said, Daria is just there as well.
Yeah. I don't remember anything about Daria's story. I don't think she had
anything in the first couple of episodes.
No, I don't remember. And the only thing I know about Daria is that her parents did her dirty with the spelling of her name because it is one letter away from diarrhea.
I was trying so hard to figure out what to call her, and diarrhea was on the tip of my tongue. And I don't think
my phone wanted her name to be diarrhea. Yeah. Let's just say
taking notes is like, do you mean seriously? Like, did you mean diarrhea? Yeah. No, I didn't.
When she was born, her parents didn't know about autocorrect yet.
Yeah. They really, really
it would be
did
the bane of her existence. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, Daria is what I'm going to call her until corrected.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the big inciting incident here of the first couple episodes of Snowflake Mountain. And so that the snowflakes need to learn where food comes from. Like, okay, so I guess we're gonna go fishing and go hunting. No, they need to go and go get the food drop from, there's two separate food drops. One is on a raft and one is hanging up in the woods.
Yes, it was very beyond the edge. Puzzle pieces hanging in a bag,
right,
connected to a tree. Not even that high up.
Mm-hmm. Because when you go like in a survival situation, you have to go to where, you know, the packages of food are and then go bring them back to your camp. That's basically how it works.
You find the bagged marshmallows and untie them. And that's living off the land, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had to swim out, or they paddled out into the lake, but they were basically swimming because paddling, they weren't good at that. And so they got to the, like, the supplies, which like as Jenny said, is a bunch of marshmallows and chocolate and vegan chocolate, even, like, coincidentally, you know, look at the show. For you to be making fun of these snowflakes, you're really providing for them, giving them what they need, you know. You would think they'd be like, you don't need vegan chocolate. Like, no,
it's Willy Wonka and the Vegan Chocolate Factory.
Exactly. No wonder why people were dying. So that happens, and they recover the food. And there's a little drama there. For one, Carl is like, why aren't they taking this more seriously? We are men. We need to be out here not swimming and having fun. And everybody's like, you're a jerk.
Buzzkill.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I understand, like, why he would want to, like, feel like you should be working in this moment. You do have these two men telling you you should be working more. But come on, y'all. It's a reality TV show, and y'all are out in the, like, wilderness, and you're, like, 22. Just have some fun, you know, dance, jump in the water if you want to. I don't care. But yeah, this is when we find out about Devin and Carl basically just being like oil and water. Devin is just has no time for him. She's calling him all kinds of names. He's saying names back. And then they have to swim the food back. But they're going so slow that Joel decides to yell out that there's a crocodile chasing them. And then that's it. There's a crocodile. Oh, okay. And then they get back on land. So almost no drama at all.
Mm-hmm. On that end, for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Jenny, what about on the other side of things?
Well, the other side. So again, because Olivia bailed like seconds into this show, I can't believe they didn't say, are you sure you don't want to stick around a little longer? There might be something in it for you. No, she's out. Mm-hmm. So we have uneven, because we get a lot of splitting into two different teams doing different tasks. So the teams are always uneven now because Olivia left. So the other group, they are the ones in the forest that are, you know, the terrible task of just untying a rope to lower a crate of or a bag of food onto the ground. Wow, hard work. They now in this particular
sort of like a pinata action going on.
Yeah. It did seem very pinata-esque. But like when you have like Liam being like, this is easy. You just untie the rope and just let it go down slowly and that's it. Like when you have this boy telling you that this is not that hard. Like, again, I'm not feeling bad for these people, mm-hmm. but this particular food drop, I guess, was the one that actually had the goodies. So this is where you find the marshmallows and the vegan chocolate. Eggs, I guess, was apparently an exciting thing. And it's Solomon's idea that, hey, we should, you know, take some of this good stuff and just keep it for us so that we get more of like the awesome food. And we won't tell them that we got any of this good stuff. And we'll just be like, oh, we just got crappy food. For some reason, the things that they stole seemed to be marshmallow, chocolate, and eggs. I don't understand the point of stealing eggs because how are you just eating raw eggs? Like, are you just going off into the bush by yourself and just cracking one open and popping it into your mouth? Like, I didn't understand that part. Also, you see Solomon stuffing the marshmallows into his pants. You're putting he's putting eggs in his pants too.
Yeah, he did put everything into his pants and then started like making like a thrusting motion. Yeah.
Because he said that, yeah, now it looked like he was packing. it's just like, yes. Yeah, that definitely looks like...
Is that a bag of marshmallows in your pants? Like, not really like a compliment, I feel like.
Just happy to see me.
It's like, what's leaking on your track pants, sir? Oh, it's a That's broken egg? Eggs,
baby.
Okay.
That's just my yolk, baby. Mm-hmm. You know? yeah, Solomon's a big old thief. And he just like, he thinks it'll be fun to do this. And I like that half of the people are like, no, what are you talking about? This is dumb. Don't do that.
Most of them were. They were like,
Yeah, but say they most of them protest, but yet they still do it. You know, it's like mm-hmm. Solomon is like, let's steal. And everyone's like, no. And then Sonny and Daria are like, okay. That's fine.
Well, he's a convincing man. That's why everyone's mom wants to date him. You know, he's just got that charisma and that, you know, convincing attitude that makes you, you know, stuff some marshmallows into your pants when it's against your morals.
And yeah.
Matt and Joel, they are able to observe everything because Chappelle, they have amazing surveillance technology that they are able to perfectly see in like full HD everything that's happening and never a cameraman in the shot.
No, just they have a spy toolbox and yes. They just prop open the lid and it has a camera on the inside of it.
It's
and they
an can just iPad.
It's very weird. This is the weirdest thing ever. And they're like, oh, look at these crazy kids. They're out here trying to steal. Well, we're going to get them later on. I was like, okay, thank you.
Perfect video. Yeah.
Literally the produced scenes that we already watched on our screen. It's them watching the edit of the show on an iPad that is like attached to the top of a box.
No expense was spared at Snowflake Mountain. Yeah. Yeah.
No, not at all. You know, one of the things I do appreciate about Solomon is that he has a do-rag for every occasion. I mean, did y'all notice? I mean, with every changing scene, polish. Red do-rag. Yeah, yeah. Well, he wears blue nail polish because he's royalty. But, mm-hmm. I mean, the teal do-rag, the red do-rag, yellow do-rag. At some point, I was kind of impressed. I was like, okay, well, I thought when I got to his Instagram page, he was going to be selling those. And I was definitely going to click the link.
Yeah. I had no clue that he took them all out of his suitcase, Chappelle, before they detonated.
Thing. Yeah. I mean, if you told me to grab my essential items, I'm grabbing at least three, mm-hmm. at least three do-rags.
Mm-hmm. And two, so he knew least, what he was doing.
I mean, it's a look, I'm saying a star, honestly. You should be giving him more camera time. Instead, you're wasting him.
He probably knew that something was up because this man was wearing layered, like luxury brand jackets. He's like, he's putting everything on. He's like, I'm never seeing this again. I have 15 do-rags and 20 jackets. His suitcase was empty, probably.
But I would say that's probably just because he's materialistic and not the most astute, because we do find out that he doesn't know where ribs come from.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's in the episode two's challenge.
So when he's like, wait, you mean ribs are actual ribs?
Like, this isn't a real person, right?
Oh, Jacob Jones, don't you dare, Rob. Don't you effing dare. Like, you can't hear Jacob Jones saying that. Like, oh my God.
No, I can now.
Of course. I heard Jacob on the Outlist talk about, wait, is Outlist, is like that like a play on Outlast from the Survivor quote?
No.
Like, yes, Jacob, that's the point.
Jacob, that's no. The point.
Yeah. Spell orange.
He's please, so precious. Aaron.
Yes.
He is.
And he was our expert, Chappelle. And then, yeah, and then y'all have so been many people,
ever since.
So many people drag like Rob and Mike, you get this wrong, you get this wrong, you get this wrong. Like, we listened to Jacob.
What,
he was a fashion expert.
Jacob Jones was literally on a show we talked about on Nothing But Netflix and had no input. He was on the show and he had nothing. He did not call. He did not say, hey, you guys, y'all are talking about this thing. I have some insight. We have to find out from the street. So I'm just saying, Solomon is a real person and we know somebody like him.
That I believe this is called a squirt. Like, oh, okay. All right. Let's go. We'll go with it. Yeah. R.I.P. my mentions.
Exactly.
Knew what Jacob, you're getting yourself into, though. Come on,
Jacob
Rob.
Jones would also have a do-rag for every occasion because he is an icon. But so I like seeing that part from Solomon. But I didn't like that he was stealing the food because it's just very obvious. Like, who put you up to this? Because you couldn't have thought this was going to work out. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody's going to snitch. You barely know these people.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think Jacob Jones would be stealing the marshmallows and the chocolate.
No. Mm-hmm. No. Absolutely not. That's not his style.
No. And so it does come up in episode number two because Devin, who's having a birthday, and on her damn birthday, they have cooked up a deer for everybody to eat. And after they butchered the deer, that was what was served for dinner. And she wasn't going to eat because it was her birthday and she was vegan. And so this all set up for Solomon to give some of the contraband food to Devin, which ultimately leaks out to the rest of the group. What has happened?
He fell into a trap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is fun to watch though, because we see like this is Devin's star making episode as well. Like this is her moment, because throughout the episode, we know they have to go make the food. So they go and they skin the deer, they meet this lady named Kat, and she's like trying to show them the ways of the world or whatever. And then like what group A has to skin the deer and stuff, and Devin immediately says, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, look at this snowflake. She's like, no, seriously, I'm a vegan, I'm leaving. And so they're like, okay, that's fine. Like, go back to camp.
They're very understanding. Yeah.
I almost tapped out of doing this podcast at this point. Like, I'm not even a vegan, but I love deer so much. And like, listen, I know I'm a hypocrite. I eat meat. I am very much aware of the fact that like the discomfort I had seeing the animal dead. First of all, I don't eat deer, but I hated this. I was like, I can't believe I'm watching this. Like, I was literally like covering the screen. So this was where I was like, am I a snowflake? Because I can't believe they're just showing this whole ass deer with its skin still on, but no head hanging. And then they're actually making these kids like take the skin off
of it. If you don't like watching animals get mutilated and you eat meat, you're a snowflake. Okay, Jenny?
I guess so. That's what I've learned. But it was very, I was like, oh my God. Like, I went from being like, these little bitches, like, you have toilet paper.
Yeah.
They got beer. Did you not notice?
They did get beer.
Like, I'm like, there's like Heineken sitting on the table. I'm like, okay, this is absolute BS. But then flash forward to there's a effing deer being hung and they have to skin it with their own hands. I was like, listen, I wouldn't even be having to claim vegan to get the hell out of there. I'd be like, absolutely.
And well, look, the other group, it was no picnic. Chappelle, they had to cut down a tree.
A tree. They had the 10 people involved had to cut down one tree. And not a huge, like,
it was
great oak tree that you would think. Like, if you didn't watch, you're totally thinking, well, if trees are big. No. They had to cut down.
It was,
and
like,
I'm saying this.
Yeah. Dead 2-inch birch tree or something. Yeah. It was already ready to go.
Timbertina, she will be very insulted if she watches this show.
Yeah.
Right. This flimsy ass ficus they had to knock over. Mm-hmm. And it's like 12 people like hacking away at it. This is the one moment we get from Daria, because she is chopping the wood and Carl is in the background like, just gosh, hit it harder. What's wrong with you? Jesus. What? Ew. And so she's like, Carl's a jerk. And then that's pretty much her only soundbite. We also find out that this is when Ray is going to step up, and she's very much hyping everybody else up, but she's also like putting a lot of energy into chopping down the tree. She even has a slow motion moment that she calls for. She says, this is when you start my slow motion montage. So she knows that she's good TV.
Yeah,
but to Jenny's point about the deer, I mean, let me talk to you about the duality of man. I could be upset that I was like, oh, look, a dead deer hanging. I don't like that. But when I saw those ribs, I was like, well, let me get a shot. I could try. I would not have quit this moment. Yeah. Like, for a split second, I was like, well, that's unpleasant.
Right.
But then also ribs.
I get it, Chappelle. I watched Naked and Afraid XL with Mari this week. And like, you watch them like, oh, that's a cute animal. Like, oh, God. Like, I wonder. Try it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is day two. And I don't think I'm hungry enough when they already have food. Like, the crappy food that didn't get stolen was still like crackers and bananas and like all sorts of like vegetables and fruits. Like, I'm sorry, I am not hungry enough to eat the dead deer that I had to friggin' witness being skinned. I'm over there with Devin. I'm probably at this point, give me like 5 Heinekens and I'm not even hungry. So, like, that's probably what I'm doing at this point. It's like, I'm having a liquid lunch. Everything is fine. I don't need to eat this deer. I'm not hungry enough yet.
Fair.
Yeah, I guess I would have tore it up. But yeah.
That's okay. That's, you know, again, we're complicated. I am still saying I would probably still eat meat, but I probably wouldn't eat that meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. They get back to the camp with the firewood, which is questionable because we saw them chop down a tree and we never see them again. And then they just like appear with wood and like, stop it. So, and they also have the deer, which is now prepared to be eaten. Of course, Devin has to take off too, because she's like, I'm going to just celebrate my birthday alone because I don't want to watch y'all eating the deer either. So she's like in the kitchen area, which they have a kitchen area, y'all. And she's eating vegetables or bananas or whatever.
Yeah.
And Solomon, he kind of like looking, he's kind of like, I really like that you did that. Like the you standing up for yourself and like, you know, having morals, very attractive. Let me we kind of try to come flirt with you by leveraging the stolen snacks that we had. And he goes to clearly the most principled person on the cast and said, I did this horrible thing, but don't you like me for it?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God, thank you. And she's hugging him, but in her head she's like, this person is a psychopath. We've been out here for less than 24 hours. You're already stealing. And so it doesn't leak into the cast. The moment he walks away, she's like, get a load of this guy. And she starts telling people, and then there's dissension in the ranks because the whispering is starting and people are trying to figure out like, okay, wait, who stole the food and how much was stolen and who was it? And it was Solomon all along, you know, and there he has accomplices, you know. Sonny is not innocent. Daria is not innocent. it. But I know Liam is pissed because Liam and Deandra, they're both like, we didn't even want to steal this because eventually they all get in trouble for this caper.
Can I make a criticism of Solomon here?
Not Solomon.
I know. Wild thought. So as he walks over, and like, first of all, has the marshmallows been in his pants the entire time? Like, are they melted?
Do marshmallows melt if they are in your pants?
If it's hot enough, for sure. If it's hot enough. Hot and damp enough.
I don't know. If it's hot enough, the chocolate definitely will. But what is the melting point for marshmallows? I feel like that, and again, I've never had marshmallows in my pants. I think it would get sticky for sure, but would it melt?
I think if it's hot outside and it's in your pants, like the heat that radiates from your genitals, it's like, it's significant, I feel. But okay. Let me see.
What is the melting
the
point for marshmallows?
Yeah, let's get
beyond
to the science.
Fact that he's pulling out pant marshmallows. Oh. I'm like, he's like, oh, did you notice that, like, oh, and the chocolate is vegan. And the chocolate bar just has, like, a fake label written on it that says chocolate vegan on it. But
nothing fake about that, Jenny.
Yeah, it was very, very normal-looking label.
Very normal.
Marshmallows are not vegan. Marshmallows are not vegan. Oops. So, like, He went through the process of being like, oh yeah, and don't worry, babe, that chocolate's vegan. But also, here are these marshmallows that are not vegan.
Yeah. I am wrong that the marshmallow melting point is 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, which is amazing that it happens to match body temperature. So that right above body temperature is when marshmallows. So yeah, it could get toasty.
Who said I didn't know science?
Yeah,
yeah, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I sense.
I'm not a big marshmallow guy, so I never.
Me neither.
I didn't know about this.
I will have a s'more if you're camping or if you're having like a bonfire party or something like that, and someone offers it to you. I guess I will engage it. Actually, you know what? I like roasting marshmallows and then giving it to somebody else.
Yes. Yeah. That's.
I like the act of like getting a nice toasty crust on it and. It as an art form. Right. I do not care to eat it.
Yeah.
So I'm with you on that one. But
yeah.
They're still not vegan.
And definitely not melting one in my pants.
Definitely not.
I'd
try it. Not to
eat fry
one,
pants marshmallow.
Yeah.
I try to melt it like that. Now that you've mentioned it, it's like I'm in Texas. It's kind of hot outside. I just go and see. You know, like is it science if it's not tested? You know, I
this
think
this could
I,
be a new TikTok trend. Yeah. It's like
marshmallow,
like,
waxing, where then you put affix the graham cracker and then rip it off really hard.
Ooh. Oh my god!
Okay,
s'more
so
wax.
Graphic.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's pajazzling. Is that what it's called? Yeah,
that's how you become the true bushmaster.
That's how you get a rash. Yeah, I think
a different type of rash.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But okay. Could this not be a TikTok trend where it's like you put marshmallows in your pants and see how long it takes for them to melt?
Mm-hmm.
Define trend.
I've seen way stupider things on TikTok than this. Okay.
Yeah. I'm still subscribed to Exorcist TikTok. I forgot to my For You page is going wild. I forgot to unsubscribe. I need to unfollow some things.
Yeah. So they get into this huge fight. And it gets ugly very quick, Chappelle, right? Solomon is just calling everybody losers and saying how they're all broke and he's a somebody and they're not.
Yeah, he's like, y'all is fake, y'all losers, y'all broke. And they're like, you're a douchebag. And he's like, you fake. And she's like, you're a douchebag. And they're like, wait, stop it, kids. Y'all are saying douchebag and fake too much. And so, that's the argument.
On this very real show, stop saying it's fake.
Right. Look, Solomon just is not used to meeting people like Ray, who just seem to have a lot of like positive energy. He's very much like, something's up with y'all. There's no way that y'all could be put out here in the wilderness. We're, you know, fighting for our lives and y'all are able to stay cordial about this whole thing. Like, we should be stealing food or whatever. Solomon probably has a point. Like, I saw how grown ass people acted in Survivor the Australian Outback behind some damn beans. And so he's probably like, no, I watched Survivor. They wanted to like like attack people because of the tiniest things. So, you know, I don't know. I think that was Africa. But anyway, they want to attack people behind the tiniest things. And so, yeah, he's just weary of them. And so they have to get used to Solomon, and he has to get used to them too.
Do you think Solomon thought that he was on Survivor and that there was a strategic component to the game here where, you know, if he keeps himself fed and he's like, you know, being nefarious and stealing things and sabotaging the other participants. I mean, I guess if he's trying to get the 50 grand, but like the money goes down if people quit. Did we explain that? For every person that leaves, $5K goes from the pot. So they're supposed to all work together. So if he's trying to like break down the spirits of the other people, like if he's trying to be Russell Hance of Snowflake Mountain, he's going to take money out of his own pocket.
Greatest snowflake.
Yeah.
Y'all bunch of broke bitches.
My broke ass bitch alliance.
Oh, your moms wanna date me. Look, I got the marshmallows in my pants. Yeah. Call me Russell Pants.
He's probably closer to Alina from Survivor Nicaragua than Russell Hance, though. He's a 100% grade A dirt squirrel. Mm-hmm. You know, because he's stealing food and and getting caught, you know. At least look
sloppy,
you know. It's very sloppy, very sloppy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right,
not to say that he can't be Nyanko, but that would be disrespectful to Nyanko.
Speaking of getting sloppy, okay, Jenny, there's another assignment the snowflakes have to go do.
Oh yeah. So basically we hear that from Matt and Joel, they knew about the food stealing because again, they've Spy got screen. Access to all of the footage on their little iPad. So they basically said, we're going to give them 24 hours to like fess up to this. And then if not, we take it into their own hands. Well, Solomon decided that he was going to sabotage himself by telling Devin anyway. And Devin obviously calls this out. So they didn't have to interfere here. However, now that everything's out in the open, everyone knows about the stealing, it's time to punish the people involved in the stealing because this is a group. This is a group activity. This is like we're all working together to survive. And so what happens here next is because they have done a bad thing, they have to their next job is emptying the toilets. They got to take out the toilets. So as we mentioned, these were like outhouses. And so there's like a built box thing with a little hole. And then inside of the box is like, it just looks like a plastic bin, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like it's almost like a garbage can. And that is filled with the poop. But eventually that needs to be emptied.
Got to. Hey.
And so where that gets emptied is basically they just walk a certain distance, dig a hole, and then empty the poop bucket into the hole and then cover up said poop. And now you've got a fresh bucket ready to be defecated into again. And so this is the five people that were responsible for the stealing, even though the majority of them were not in favor and just went along with it, are now responsible for poop duty.
And yeah, that's what you did there. And if you're just joining us, see, now here's where it gets wild.
Yeah, just now.
Yeah.
Just now.
Just now. Just now. Tell us about, Jishmel, tell us about Jenny's crush, Sunny.
Yeah, so they're on latrine duty, y'all. You got to be able to have the latrine or something similar, and they have to go dump the excrement into the ground. They have to dig a hole and just pour it in there. It's honestly a very simple task. Dig, pour, move on with your life.
And they're in like hazmat suits, let's add. Like they are fully protected.
Nothing snowflakey about it, okay?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. This should be very straightforward. And essentially it is, to the point where Sunny, who I had been having a hard time, I'm assuming, using it elsewhere, now really needs to go. I think it's like one of those things where if you see somebody throwing up, you want to throw up. Like,
is that what that is?
He saw this being dumped, and so he needed to dump as well.
He saw poop, and he says, that looks great.
And so he decides to contribute to said poop. And so, he just drops trowel ass out, you know, just full hole. And just decides to just drop it off in the hole. It.
This didn't happen. This didn't happen.
He didn't even poop in the hole. I'm pretty sure that like he wasn't even aiming for the hole. He was just like, it's happening now. He pulls down the pants. He's barely bending over. He's just like, wherever it lands, it's fine. And everyone's just standing there freaking out, being like, ah, my God, right. What's this?
Yeah, did they stop at Starbucks on the way here? This did not happen.
I think he ate too many ribs. I think he went ham.
Rob.
A public defecation in front of all these people and the cameras.
Y'all, it would be different because, like, if you're listening to this, you're probably thinking people poop outside all the time. What's the big deal? Blah, blah, blah. This is not like someone in the corner.
This is
like,
a group setting. It's
something.
Like, hey, it's go time, y'all.
Yeah.
Like, right. I'm doing
and
this.
He's not in like a typical poop position, as Jenny stated.
Right.
Like, he's not like squatting into the hole. He's just kind of bent over. Like,
he's like bent forward over. He looks like he's trying to spray in the air.
Incredible danger of falling into the pit. If you attempted this,
right?
Like there was no like if you get had him, you gave him like a rope, and he could like hold on to the rope. Like, okay, there's no way I'm falling into the pit.
But what are you? Okay, so I hear you. I hear you say that this is fake, and I would probably agree. But I just want to know how the producers convinced him to do this, because if the assignment is we need you to fake,
it said in the script. Now, Sonny, like, you go poop in the hole.
But if that is the goal, I would have walked over and pretended to poop in the hole. That is not what he did.
He bent
over and decided to display his hole, and that's it. Like, so why? Like, what was in the script? What did it say? Like, we want you to moon everyone. Okay, that's one thing. But that he went an extra mile. The man, there was some spreading going on. This man was showing off his hole.
His sunny side.
His sunny side up.
For sure. Up and out. There was sphincter. There really was. And I just want to know, like, how do you convince somebody? Like, and if you're the director, are you like, okay, now take, like, again, from the top, this time with emotion, show me your sphincter.
I really think that it must have been a poop emergency because, like, he could have had a fresh bucket, like, if he waited 5 more minutes. So I don't know if it's, like, the sort of thing where seeing and smelling everyone else's poop maybe activated something in him where he was like, oh, my
something
God,
primal.
I'm going to...
Yeah.
Maybe he felt first like I'm going to throw up, but his stomach said, not that hole, sir. We're going the other way as God intended. And it's happening now. It's all now. I cannot imagine Sonny agreed to this as part of the script. I think, and maybe I'm just a Sonny apologist. I don't know, but I think that they went from, like, you know, just being out in the woods, and now all of a sudden they're eating, like, fresh-ass deer, and also probably washed that down with a couple heinies, and now it's coming out of his heinie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I think that this was real poop.
But, Jenny, explain the poop technique. Now, why is he in this...
I mean,
why this is form.
Yeah. He's never pooped outside, I think, is what this says. Okay. He doesn't know what to do.
I'm watching this video again. Like, Liam is like...
You're watching it again.
Yeah. Like, this is a Bruder film. Like, I'm going to go back. Liam is laying on the floor, like, rolling on the ground. Like,
where they just dumped poop?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Oh,
it's
God.
So OTT.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It would be more believable if
there's
he went
There's a drone
over
shot.
It. Well, that's probably why he had to get in that position, because the drone shot wouldn't get any view if it was just from above. Like, you would just see the top of his head. But if he gets down into full, like,
got the butt shot, you know,
a downward facing dog, if you will, you know, which comes up too in this season. I think, I don't know. Sonny seems like a nice guy, but this was definitely a choice.
I think this is the real question for the listeners, to anyone who actually put themselves through watching this at least this episode. You know, what was Sunny's poop real? Was this real poop or was this fake poop?
It's just,
this is the big question of the week.
I just can't get past this form. You know, like I know the panel right now is split, but I'm going to have to go with Rob on this one. I just don't see that you could have.
Not buying it.
How do you pull off a technique? Like the technique is just not sound.
And Jenny, there was no, whether it was 3/4 of a ply or no leaf. There was nothing. There was nothing nearby. And
maybe they were really, really far. Maybe they were really, really far from where the outhouse was. Again,
but there was no, hey, somebody get me a leaf. Somebody, can somebody do something? Does anybody have a tissue?
I think he's probably just like, get it right into the hole where there's already poop. Let's just get it over with.
I'm looking at the drone shot. He's not even near the hole.
That's what I said. Okay, I didn't look like he was actually going into the hole. But I still, here's the thing. I just can't imagine willingly deciding to do this on television if it weren't actually an emergency. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking like, yeah, like imagine just being like, yeah, I will pretend that I have diarrhea and that I can't wait a second, second to, you know, get back to camp.
Have you seen Bridesmaids? Yeah. I mean, actors do stuff like that.
Okay, but that actors, when they know they're playing a role, but this is supposed to be a reality show. This is apparently a real person named Sunny. And these people, you have to think, are expecting some sort of fame from this show. You're trying to tell me Sunny is agreeing to have a fake scene where he just drops his pants and poops? Didn't actually have to do it? I don't know, man.
It sounds like, Jenny, this crush you have on Sunny is just too far, honestly. Like, let's just call it what it is. If you're in love, just say that. Because
I think I'm just really trying to believe that this he didn't want to
like,
do
but
this.
I love him. Like, he did. He definitely did. He probably volunteered. They were like, okay, we're wrapping up filming. Anybody else want to do anything? He's like, I can show you my butthole. Like, oh okay, well, bring in the drone, you know.
Get the drone.
Yeah.
Get the chopper.
Okay. Well, then let's talk about then a sudden like rule change that comes up here that we had no idea. A little bit of a new game mechanic is going to come out. We're going to find out. Basically, we're going to have a new award given to the Wilderness Warrior. Who was the Wilderness Warrior of the week? And the Matt and Joel announced it's Ray. Ray is the Wilderness Warrior.
Yeah, so they give the winning title of Wilderness Warrior to Ray, which I saw coming from a mile away. I did enjoy the little montage of people discussing who they thought it would be. Of course, both Randy and Carl think they deserve to be the Wilderness Warrior. Of course they do. Men, am I right? And what I thought really demonstrated why Ray actually was the deserving person was we get a little confessional from Ray saying that she thinks Devin deserves it because of, you know, overcoming the situation with the deer and at least like not completely leaving, you know, respecting her morals, but like letting everyone have the experience they have without making a big thing about it. And that is exactly why Ray deserves to be the Wilderness Warrior, because she's positive. She lifts other people up. She sees the best in other people. That's isn't that really the story of the Wilderness Warrior?
What the Wilderness Warrior is supposed to be all about. So that's right. One game mechanic. And then Chappelle, also now we're going to introduce the Last Chance Lake.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. The show lost me here. The show lost me at Wilderness Warrior.
Who are we putting into the challenge?
And then it got even worse. So the Wilderness Warrior issue I have is that there's no benefit to it. Actually, you know what it is? You are the Wilderness Warrior, so we're gonna insert drama into your life now, because she doesn't win any money. She doesn't get any. She doesn't get the $5,000 put back into the pot or something like that. She doesn't get like anything at all.
She should have gotten like a night in like a private cabin that was like even nicer than the tent,
or a can of gravy.
Or a can of gravy would be enough for me. Mm-hmm.
Right. But instead, they say, okay, now hold on to that. That imaginary thing we just made up to give you. Now, with that title, you have the opportunity to choose which one of these three people that we have nominated to go to Last Chance Lake. And you have to pick one of them to save. And so Last Chance Lake is like the raggedy version of the camp life we have here. And we are banishing two people over there for the night because they have been bad. Bad, bad people. But here are your options, Ray, because only you alone can make this decision. Our wilderness warrior. You have, I'm sure Solomon was one of them, right? You have Solomon because he's a thief. You have Deandra because she is a cheerleader like Ray, but one who actually doesn't do anything else except like root everybody else on. And then you have Sunny because he took a dump. And so
I think they would have been happy that Sunny took a dump. I think the problem was that Sunny was sleeping in a little bit.
Yeah. No, Sunny and Solomon are like low-key.
Maybe that's why he had to use the facilities out in the, like he slept too late. He probably should have gone before he went on the mission.
Time. Yeah. Yeah.
He's been eating
that
those
morning coffee went straight to him.
Yeah. So those groin marshmallows are really getting to him probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Sunny, Deandra, and Solomon are up for Last Chance Lake. And so Ray decides to save Sunny because Sunny really hasn't done anything wrong, honestly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so Jenny's King has made it another round. But look here. Last Chance Lake is not like some battle for elimination that you gotta like survive and then only one person is coming back. Like that you would see in a normal reality show. It's like, no, just go spend the night here and then please don't quit because we'll have to take $5,000 away. So that's what's at stake. If somebody quits, they'll lose $5,000. But if both people quit, it'll be $10,000 from the pot. I don't want to spoil the show, but nobody quits because it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Wow, Chappelle. They really left us on a cliffhanger at the end of this episode, and I can't believe you spoiled it for me. I'm so invested in the show. I will say, like, I've been saying I could totally handle this this camp experience. It's nice. These are like pretty nice tents. They've cots and blankets and all. There's freaking beer. What more can you ask for? This is lovely. Last Chance Lake does look pretty grody. And Matt and Joel did say that there would be spiders inside of the tent, which is where I'm like, noping the F out of there. I don't know, but I saw spiders. They showed a little clip of it. I'm very terrified of spiders. Mm-hmm. And that would be the moment where I'd be like, that might make me leave, honestly. But let's be real. I'm not getting thrown into
Last
Chance. Are
you ready to ring the bell?
I would. I probably would. I'd be like, I'm going to Ohio with Olivia.
So I don't want to spoil Ohio for you, but there's spiders and tents there too.
But I really think it's so funny though that like the title of Wilderness Warrior is just basically meaningless and just comes with like it's so participation trophy. It's like exactly what they think the snowflakes need. They're like, yeah, we'll just give you this little title.
No,
for,
but they
you
didn't
know.
Make everybody be the wilderness warrior.
That's true, but maybe they all get a turn. Rob, we have yet to see. Okay,
yes. Wait, how do we think? And we've only watched I've only watched two episodes. Chappelle's watched five, right?
Something like that. I might have gotten through six.
How many times have you watched them?
Do we think at the end of the show, will they crown a winner of, or will it be like Too Hot to Handle has done in the past where they all win?
Well, that's the thing.
The reason why I didn't
finish the season because I thought that was a good talking point for the podcast. Honestly, they don't ever make it clear what can happen. And in Too Hot to Handle, we've seen where it's like, oh, now we all made it to the end. We all win. But we've also seen Too Hot to Handle be like, no, we're only going to give the money to one person. Mm-hmm. And so they could go either way, honestly.
I did hear someone say when they announced the prize, we did get a confessional from someone. I can't remember who it was, where they said one of us could win $50,000, and they used I took note of it because I was like, interesting. They did say one person. So that leads me to think that perhaps that is the case, that it is just there is one winner. So maybe there's an ultimate wilderness warrior at the end where, you know, maybe this meaningless title eventually does have a grand meaning at the end. And it's the person that embraced the experience the most. Maybe they vote. Maybe Matt and Joel decide. I don't know. But I think that, you know, splitting the pot is kind of boring, right? Yeah. Like,
it is boring, but do any of these kids need $50,000? It's just one of those things where, like, you call them snowflakes and talk about how entitled they are, and then you go and give them 50K. Like, at least now they're, like, relying on their mom and dads, a lot of them. Like, I mean, we see Sonny is basically like, I don't do anything for myself. My mom takes care of me. Okay, bye. But you're about to give him $50,000? You're like, I don't think that's what you do here. I think you have to divide it, honestly. Because, look, if I find out that only one of us can have the money, and I don't think I'm the apple of their eye, I'm quitting. And I'm taking my $5,000 with me. What do I look like sticking this out for this entire time for Solomon to show growth or something like that in eight episodes? And so now all of a sudden he gets the money? Absolutely not. I'm out of here.
Maybe there's a stipend, so maybe they, aside from the potential at getting the grand prize at the end, that there's also like an extra payday benefit for them not quitting beyond like just screwing other people out of money. But I mean, to the point of, you know, the it not being a lot of money and whether that matters to anyone, like this episode, the big cliffhanger. That Chappelle has spoiled that apparently is not a big deal is we get Solomon saying F 50K, 50K could wipe my ass. I'm out of here. This is when he, you know, he's being sent to Last Chance Lake and he says, I don't need 50 grand.
Yeah.
I'm getting the hell out of here.
It is interesting. So if it's not real, if it's fake, like the prize should be like $1 billion.
Yeah, because they're not getting it anyway.
right. So I don't know. Like what is real? What is fake? Like, I think it's probably a hybrid.
Yeah, this show is less suspenseful than 20 somethings Austin. You know, this wilderness warrior thing kind of put me in the mind of Kid Nation, right? Mm-hmm. Remember at the end of Kid Nation, every episode they give somebody a golden star worth $10,000, mm-hmm. just handing kids $10,000 at the end of every episode. They don't do that here. They legit are like, you won. Like, what did I win?
Nothing.
Pissing people off.
Right. Annoy your friends.
Yeah.
So
making enemies.
Yeah. All right. And that's what we all want in life.
That is it.
That's yes. it.
It is doing okay yeah. on Netflix. I think it's the number 3 show on Netflix.
When I logged into Canadian Netflix, I think it was 10. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, maybe your culture wars aren't as hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give it time. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Trust me, we're just leeching onto your culture anyway. So,
yeah. So, yeah, I've got a number 3 in TV shows behind Chappelle's favorite, The Umbrella Academy, and Stranger Things. What? Yeah.
My favorite, the what now?
You don't like Umbrella Academy? I feel like you tweet about it.
It's fine. I tweet about everything. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's a good point.
It's fine. Yeah. We call it my favorite. I don't want people to think anything about me watching The Umbrella Academy. Like, oh, Chappelle is what? No, listen. I'm struggling to understand that show, just like I was struggling to understand this one. But there is an Umbrella Academy post show recap with Mary and Marissa over there. So mm-hmm. check that out if you have not, because I will be listening so they can explain it to me.
Okay.
But yeah, this show is high up in the rankings right now on Netflix, which probably says more about Netflix than we're all willing to admit.
All right. Well, let's talk about what's next, Chappelle. Do we have any leads on other things to watch for our next Nothing But Netflix outing?
Well, honestly, Netflix doesn't have a horrible top 10 this week, I don't think. I think like there have been some shows that I've been seeing some buzz about for the first time in a long time on Netflix. So like number 1 was The Man from Toronto.
Okay, that's what, Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart and
Woody Harrelson.
Somebody else.
Woody Harrelson. Yes.
Yeah. And
looks like Ray Seahorn from Better Call Saul is also in this. Or that Kaley Cuoco.
Yeah. So, Jenny, have you heard about this? Is this the buzz in Canada? The man from
literally.
Toronto?
I mean, I'm not the person to ask because, like, I don't like. I only watch terrible television that Twitter asks me to watch to do terrible podcasts. Mm-hmm. So I am not the ear to the ground of media in general, but I never heard of it. Like, my ears perked up when I heard Toronto. Mm-hmm. I did not know this is a thing. Is it fiction? Is it, what is it?
I don't believe it is a true story starring Kevin Hart and Woody Harrelson.
No, I actually have some insight into this coming from someone we both know. Kirsten actually contacted me about this. She wasn't Canadian. Pitching herself, even though I think she has some insight being Canadian of Canada, that is. And she says Kevin Hart accidentally gets confused for a hitman who was actually Woody Harrelson, and hijinks and action sequences ensue.
Not a good hitman movie. Who's also Canadian.
Yeah, not that guy.
And a different Hart. A different Hart. Like, the hitman Hart is here, and then it's Kevin Hart.
It's like, no, not that one. It's like, oh, he's a hitman. So like Woody Harrelson, like, no, Kevin Hart. And so hijinks, action sequences. And Kirsten says it's not a good movie per se, but it made her laugh. And so I'm sure if we talked about it, she wouldn't be opposed to coming on. Mm-hmm.
I will say I Googled it. Mm-hmm. I get the top stories. And these, you know, most of them are from Canadian publications because, you know, that's just how the internet works. From BlogTO, which is like not like a real news website, it's a blog, but it's pretty well known. The headline is Kevin Hart and Woody Harrelson apologize to the people of Toronto. So
okay. I'm intrigued.
So I would say, so Chappelle, it sounds like it's a movie with celebrities on Netflix that might be a little mid. And I feel like that's not
perfect.
Necessarily, well, I feel like that, you know, like I feel like that the best podcasts are either stuff that are really at the extremes of something that's great or something that's terrible. And if it's a movie that's just, it was fine. I feel like that maybe that not the best podcast.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, if anybody can make it entertaining, I think Kirsten probably could if she wanted to.
Sure.
There's also Spiderhead in the
no
top.
Spiders.
No
spiders.
Yes. What is Spiderhead?
It says a prisoner in a state-of-the-art penitentiary begins to question the purpose of the emotion-controlling drugs he's testing for a pharmaceutical genius, starring Chris Hemsworth.
So it's a feel-good
Miles
movie.
Teller, and Journey Smollett. Something like that. Netflix says sci-fi thriller, psychological thriller. This movie is quote unquote offbeat, as Netflix calls it.
Offbeat. Okay.
Yes. I've now clicked on offbeat to see what else Netflix considers offbeat. I guess it's something that I should be aware of. Arrested Development, Better Call Saul, Glow, Dead to Me, Russian Doll, Riverdale. Definitely all offbeat.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that tracks.
All right.
But people were talking about it. And so it's at least in the conversation for something to talk about.
So just looking ahead to what else is coming out, there's still Man versus Bee, Chappelle.
What is that? Like,
with Rowan Atkinson. Bee. Yes, Mr. Bean.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Sorry. Bee. Okay.
I think it's Bee, every like time. A bumblebee.
It is. It's Man versus Bee.
It's like Bee.
But it stars
Man versus Bean.
Rowan Atkinson.
Okay. Should be Man versus Bean, then.
Yes. It should
pretty
be Man versus Bean.
Yeah. You know, I'm being agnostic, so I don't really have a strong opinion about Rowan and his B.
Yeah. I do know of a guest who would come on to talk about Man versus B with us. Grace had told me that she would love to talk about Man versus B if we ever get to it.
Okay, well, if it comes up, I think we give Grace a call. If not, I think we could utilize Grace for something I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what that is yet.
Or we can just have Grace on and do something else.
Yeah. What do we look like turning down a Grace appearance? Are we crazy?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you should be in the Grace business.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see what's coming up this week. Also, there's something called Pirate Gold, which is reality TV pirates. Is that interesting to you? Do we get Aaron Robertson?
Or Liana, right? I think both of them are
looking for unearthed pirate treasure in a reality series.
Pirate Treasure?
Called Pirate Gold.
Pirate Gold.
Well, Pirate Gold is not giving me anything. Mm-hmm. Oh, Pirate Gold of a Dak Island? Is that it?
Yes.
Dak Island.
Yeah.
It's a lot going on.
It's a lot going on.
Yeah, someone did suggest The Lincoln Lawyer. I'm assuming season one is the only season. And so season one is out. Apparently, it's a good show. They're about an hour long. So if you wanted to do maybe the premiere of The Lincoln Lawyer, I wouldn't be against that. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, is there anything else that just stands out that like we just have to talk about? Netflix doesn't give us a lot to work with all the time. So who knows?
Okay.
What about The Unexplained with William Shatner? It's number five.
I think
in the
it
US.
Would be interesting to talk about some of the episodes. Are there? Do you like those types of things?
I don't know what these types of things are. I was just reading. Okay. I'm not quite sure.
Like, do you like these William mysteries Shatner? Of the unknown, strange creatures, bizarre rituals, mysteries of the mind?
Talk, so
yeah, it's like unsolved mysteries type stuff.
Oh, okay. Do you think we could pay Antonio Mazzaro to talk to us about it? Like, I could give him, like, a dollar. That's all I got.
Look, if Antonio wanted to do it, we would drop everything. I think
Antonio Mazzaro doesn't know who I am. That's why I said we have to bribe
stop
him.
Stop it.
There's
stop
no
it.
Way he doesn't know who you are.
Stop There's a, it.
He has no clue who I am. Like, stop I'm going to like, Antonio no, Mazzaro, no, I'm Chappelle. Nice to meet you. Could you talk to me about cat. Unsolved mm-hmm. Mysteries?
No.
All right, so why don't we, let's leave it a little open-ended, and we'll make a call during the week.
You guys could get hit with unexpected gold, like what happened this week when Snowflake Mountain appeared out of nowhere,
fell out of the sky.
Yeah. That's fair. We didn't even know it existed, and now it's the talk of the town, you know? I'd be willing to talk about whatever anybody comes up with that is entertaining. And so, again, we'll leave this with our listeners. Tweet us at nothingbutRHAP and be like, y'all should talk about this so that we can talk about it. Because then when we talk about it, everybody will be happy. So do that. Let us know if you have any suggestions. If you're a podcaster and you have something that you feel strongly about, let us know. And then maybe we can have you on instead.
Jenny, what's coming up for you this week?
What is coming up for me this week? Nothing. Isn't that great?
That is, sounds very nice.
But you
we
know what?
Find something.
Listen, there's terrible TV around every corner, and I never know when something bad might appear and somebody asks for me to podcast about it, because this is apparently now my brand.
Yeah.
If this is terrible television, really, really bad, like poop hole bad, bring in Jenny Autumn to talk about it, and maybe she can rope Rob into it if he's not too busy. So who knows what could come next. But right now I'm just enjoying a little quiet time before Big Brother.
Well, and if you missed it this week, I'm talking with two of the stars of the RHAP Big Brother Brant Steele that you should definitely check out. If you're looking for something else to listen to, go back and listen to our podcaster, Brant Steele. Very, very fun night this week on Tuesday. Wild podcast.
I will say I did not expect to, first of all, stay as long as I did, let's say.
Spoiler alert.
And I also did not expect to have as much fun as I did. No offense. Not that I wouldn't not agree to something that I wasn't going to enjoy, but I just did not expect. Yeah. True, right? So I did not expect for it to be as entertaining to be a part of as well. I was cackling like the entire time at everything that happened. And it like literally 4 hours flew by. I couldn't even believe it. So I don't think I would have said this before experiencing it, but I actually recommend watching it if you didn't catch it live, because it was really fun. Mm-hmm. It was wild.
Yeah. It was a great night.
Yeah.
It was a good night.
Jenny was going to say she wasn't expecting to find love, but maybe that was just a one-way street for me. Coincidentally, there's probably about the same amount of stool talk on there as there was on this podcast, too. So yeah, if you haven't checked that out, please do. Because we did have a good time. Yeah. That's what you're getting from a Jenny and Chappelle collaboration a lot of times.
Basically.
Chappelle, what's coming up for you?
Nothing. Every week, still talking about P-Valley on the Purple Pants podcast. I missed last week, and so I'm back, baby, this week to talk about that with Bryce and maybe Sharia this week. And so check that out. But I don't think I have anything else going on. Like, I really do think it's like a slow... I'm chilling. So, okay. If you want me, tweet me at Chappelle's_show, and maybe I'll be able to pop in and say hi.
Okay.
You literally don't even want to give yourself a break. You're like, I only have like two podcasts. Like, do you want me to do more?
I mean, Jenny,
you're
it did
hustler,
feel weird.
And I respect it. Mm-hmm.
Didn't it feel weird when I only said two podcasts?
Like, yeah, I thought I was gonna have time to run to the bathroom.
You gotta use it. You gotta use it right in front of us, like Sunny.
Oh no!
No, not this.
Not that.
Yeah, Rob, how was 90 Day Fiance?
Oh, 90 Day Fiance was very fun. Got to catch up with Puya on Monday night. An interesting week. Got to catch up with Puya about 90 Day Fiance. Got to talk about Naked and Afraid XL as well.
Have
last
you done
week.
The mess magnets yet?
No,
or is that not recorded
I'm
yet?
Record that tomorrow. I'm going to be on the All Anonymous edition of the mess magnets. We had an interesting Renap this weekend where we named stuff. It was the naming convention. So and a great talking with T-Bird with Jason from Survivor Samoa. He just went to space. So that was a really great interview. And then I also got to preview the Challenge CBS coming up with Ali Lasher and Brian Cohen.
You busy man.
You know, a lot of podcasts. We're finding stuff to talk about.
They all sound like bangers. So yeah,
there was some good stuff.
Yeah. You're regular Mike Bloom. Look at
Mike
you.
Bloom. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much for checking out Nothing But Netflix this week. We'll be back next time. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.